All right, I want to ask people, because I came out throwing about 106 miles an hour this morning. I said that there is certainly people. We got Ian Eagle joining us at 9:20, so you got to get in. 216-474-0092. Should we be harder on Darius Garland? Should we be ripping them? Where are the Cavs at right now? I think they're the second best team in the NBA. I think the Celtics are better, obviously. But I think that last night was a good showing. Some people are calling us losers for thinking that. Because they're a bunch of pros, and apparently we should try to run them out of town after every loss. And I came out and I said, and I do believe this, I think the vast majority of people who are ripping Darius Garland this morning, yeah, and 3 for 21 is terrible, but I do believe that the ones that are saying this is why you needed to trade him, I think that you watched last year in the NBA playoffs, I think that you heard about the first 15 games of the season, and I think you decided to tune in for this one. You did not watch the first 15 games. You tuned in for this one. Darius Garland was bad yesterday. He was bad. And then I think that you felt that he needed to be traded because you went right back to what you thought before. You know, if I think something and I don't see it for a while, it's human nature to think it again. So I don't think I'm off base with anybody. Unless you are just a bipolar sports fan, then, hey, you know what? You're held less accountable than I am. I can't sit there and 48 hours ago talk about how great the Cavs were and then wake up today. Like, if the Browns win tomorrow, like, there will be conversations to be had about the future. Like, again, never did I say. I said, if Kevin Stefanski gets fired, this is what I would do. If you're thinking about firing him, this is what you should do. I don't trust after they win tomorrow, if they win tomorrow, I don't trust Andrew Berry to make future draft picks still. Sorry.
I'm just trying to think what the
equivalent... I'm worried about that.
What the equivalent of what we're talking about here is.
Well, it's equivalent.
Because there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it in sports where a team could be 15-0, the talk of the league. I told you that big profile came out yesterday about Darius Garland in Yahoo. It was terrific. I advise people, I'll tweet it out at some point. It has all the great numbers about why he's having an incredible, incredible season. You could be 15-0, have literally one bad game, and everybody wants to trade him. If the Browns were 10-0 with whatever quarterback and had one bad game against the Chiefs,
yeah,
nobody would be talking about trading him.
And I am a victim of this.
Why is this? What is it about the NBA? You wouldn't do this in baseball ever.
No.
Wouldn't be like, Kwan was 0-for-4 and struck out 4 times. Like, you wouldn't do that.
The NBA...
Why is it that we're doing this with Garland today?
Honestly, it's become such a personal league. It's all rings. That's all it is. And because I think that the NBA, even more so than the other sports, is so prone to, I guess I would say, hot takery, which is a terrible term to use, but I can't find a better one. Because the NBA in its fandom leads so much to hot takery. Like, no guy just gets better as time goes on, or, hey, gradually has a decline. He's either the great... Dalton Knecht is the greatest player who's ever lived after last night. And tomorrow night, he will be terrible, and LeBron will be an idiot forever wanting him to play for the LA Lakers. That's how it works. Fair or not. And I'll tell you what, I did want people to make a big deal about this basketball game, so maybe part of it's my fault. Fair. I wanted people to make a big deal about this. I want games to look forward to, because it sucks to just sit there and go, well, it's November 19th, and there's... 60-some-odd games left. I don't want to do that. I mean, 15-1 is a hell of a way to start a season. But out on an 82-game schedule, and the NBA doing everything it can up until the NBA Cup to minimize the regular season, and then even with the NBA Cup, to minimize the regular season for the fans. The fans don't get anything out of it. They do not care whether or not players make $500,000. So I'm trying to find a way for people to care. And Darius Garland, of course, of all people, who's having a tremendous season to start things off, goes 3-21. So you guess what happens? I defend Darius Garland today, and then I hope and pray, because they ain't going to trade him at this juncture. That conversation is a non-starter. I hope and pray that in the postseason he shows up, because if he doesn't, I'm going to be ducking people. Coming up in the summer. Guaranteed.
Funny thing is, his trade,
and I'll wear it.
His trade value had never been lower than after last year.
May so never
they,
be higher
so
now.
So they couldn't get a suitor for him. Now, I think the Cavs could really wheel and deal. They're obviously not going to.
Well, someone is going to clip that, and you're going to look like hell.
But it's true. It is true. Now, his trade value is as high as it's ever been because he's playing the best basketball of his career. He's been a joy. I've used the term joy every day talking about Darius Garland because he has been phenomenal. And he hasn't been a ball hog, and he hasn't been one of these players like Trae Young that's always farming for calls. Like, he's just doing it, being a great shooter, and being very, very...
Yes.
In the flow of the offense.
Yes.
He's been unselfish. And last night, you know, he kept putting them up, and I actually supported it. And I said at the start of the show, you could tell Atkinson, Donovan Mitchell, they told him, keep shooting.
But we're going to be
keep
told shooting, we're making excuses shooting. For him.
Well, he had a bad game.
And that's annoying.
Terrible
game. He had a bad game.
Yeah, he knows that. Everybody knows that. Atkinson, now, if anything, Atkinson did kind of make an excuse. I asked if it was an excuse or a justification. But earlier in about last night, Atkinson said, you know, it's been the workload. And the workload has been substantial. If you think about all the games that they have played, certainly in a compact period of time, you know, he hit on it yesterday.
I think he did. 216-474-0092. Let me get to Nick and Stowe. You're first up on the Fan.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Nick.
I agree with a lot of what you said about Garland. I love watching him play this season. Yeah, he had a bad night last night. And the on the defensive side, that really kind of hurt us. Just they kept switching on to him and then attacking the basket. And his size kind of really put him in a bad spot. I wanted to run something by you. I understand, and especially with a first time, with not a first time head coach, but, you know, first year head coach, you know, you got to put faith in your players. You got to show them that you believe in them and stuff. But do you think there was a point where, you know, and I commend Garland for sticking with, you know, shooting and stuff, even though he wasn't hitting stuff, just trying to get something to go. But should Atkinson have put Garland back on the bench at some point in the fourth?
I think this is a tremendous question.
That worked in the third.
This is a tremendous question. And this is what separates, Nick, thank you for asking this, and thank you very much for the call. I think this is what separates, and maybe, Lima, you disagree, this is what separates the regular season from the postseason. In a postseason game where it's win or go home, you would definitely go, sit down, it's been a bad night, we need somebody else. You would certainly consider it. In the regular season, when confidence has been his issue, like J.R. Smith never had a confidence issue.
No.
J.R. Smith has been cocky and arrogant and fun-loving since the moment we ever heard of the guy. So you didn't have to worry about him getting down on himself. Darius, you worry about him getting down on himself. Okay, well, it's November 19th. You know what, buddy? Keep shooting. We lost by three. Because if I'm Kenny Atkinson, I go, hey, it didn't fall for you tonight. If you hit two more of those threes, we win. Okay, we lost. It was a regular season game. If I say that to you,
Kenny,
in May, it sounds terrible.
Kenny.
It's like, if you hit two more of those three. But it's November. Okay, you're not going to go 3 for 21 in the future. If you hit two more of those threes, we win. No big deal.
The last thing you would ever do is, hey, we've got this guy. We're all talking him up. He's been an all-star. He's playing all NBA level, the best of his career. Had battled confidence issues in the past. Had all those things last year that were causing him both the physical and mental issues that he had been playing from in his year from hell. And then he has this incredible, incredible start to the season. Then one bad shooting night and we bench him. Because it's the Boston Celtics.
Well, he was just asking, yeah.
No, you would just never do that. You would never do that. And as far as the playoffs go, like last year, I think he was playing at such a level that I raised the question last year, do you bench him? The problem is they didn't have a Ty Jerome last year. They had Craig Porter Jr.,
mm-hmm.
He was no answer at that stage, you know, in the playoffs.
And I can't just willy-nilly, like you have to coach to confidence. I can't just willy-nilly take, and it's not willy-nilly because he was 3 for 21, okay? But I can't, it becomes that way because if I just take you out and put somebody else in, and then what? Am I going to rip them out and put somebody else in? Like, I know we watch movies like Remember the Titans and think that's how it's done. That's not how it's done. I got to find a way to do it. And I would say, hey, I still need you to do this, that, and the other, but you need to be able to figure this out. I can do that in a big game where it matters for all. But in the regular season, I am ramping up to someone. I need it to be confident throughout and teach to the confidence instead of for the fear of reprisal by the coach.
Well, if they had Karras last night, he might have actually spent a little more time on the bench.
Great point.
He benched Jared Allen at the end last night and put George Niang in because he said it in the postgame, he needed the shooting. Like, when you're down.
But Jared understands that.
Three, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like, But it's same, like, when you're 3 for 21, like Darius, if Caris LeVert's there, he's probably not 3 for 21. He's 3 for 16, and then
I mean, LeVert,
you move on.
LeVert's having a career year, too. I mean, they've had so much. That's why I'm not going to let last night discourage me, especially when I think every other team in the league, if they're down 20 points and Boston is shooting that well behind the arc, like, they're running teams out of the gym playing like that, and they didn't last night.
Mike and Chesterland, 30 seconds, go.
All right, I just want to say I'm not worried at all. Darius has been the top two, top three point guard in the league throughout the first 15 games of the season, so I'm not worried, and I'm excited for tonight to get right back to it, get another game under their belt, and I hope Darius just goes off, you know, 50% shooting, 25 points. I'm not worried at all. Boston runs teams out of the gym. We came back. We almost beat them. We're fine. Thanks, guys.
Unless he has, Mike, I agree with you. The only thing, unless he has like a scheduled night off, which obviously would be there.
Especially considering the competition tonight, I wonder what the lineup is going to look like. Who's going to be active tonight?
But if he's playing, I say go on out there and shoot the lights out.